a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Well, thank you guys for having us again. I think it's speaks volumes about how the session has been run this year. We heard from a couple folks who have been here for a long time that it's the first time they've seen daylight on crossover day. We got through our bills. The committees have been very diligent in their committee work. We've had some good debates on the floor and have moved along. Things I think are lining up really well for the next couple weeks. Budget discussions are probably really going to ramp up this next week. We have some revenue estimates that were in a couple weeks ago a little down, so we've got to make some decisions on that. But other than that, I'm very thankful and proud of the way that we both houses really handled crossover day. In my short six years here, it's the first time I've ever walked out and seen the sun. So with that, I'll let the speaker chime in.
Well, thank you. I would agree with all those comments regarding crossover day. The next big deadline coming up is March 11th, when all the bills have to be out of the second chamber. We have 10 legislative days left in our 38-day session. As always, it moves along very, very quickly with so many different moving parts. But now we have a definite number of bills remaining. No more bills are going to be assigned by presiding officers to committees. Most committees have two meeting dates left. Some have three meeting dates left to take care of all their remaining bills and get them to the floor for discussion. And then, of course, after that, we're looking at some conference committees to hammer out the remaining issues on some of those bills. But as the Assistant Majority Leader said, we're getting much closer to the time now where the budget becomes the number one bill on everybody's mind as what's commonly known as Amendment Day approaches. And the deadline for amendments was set at March 10th, which is also the last day for bills to be delivered to the floor from committee. We've had less bills this year than last year, and I anticipate that things will continue to run smoothly and the bills will all get out of committee timely. I don't know that any committees will have to have extra meetings, possibly House Judiciary, which has probably 21 bills remaining for three committee hearings. And I see the Senate has arrived, so
the Senate was pitching his bill and how and Senate Ed. So, oh, thanks. Sorry for being tardy. Just we doing opening remarks. Okay, I didn't hear totally what the speaker said, but I think it goes along the lines of what I had. We did have a fairly light bill load and made crossover day without any problem whatsoever. And things are progressing along well. Obviously, it's down to crunch time, so basically we'll just be finishing up with the budget and trying to prioritize our wants and needs as we finish out the session. Probably bill of interest that came out of the Senate went over to the House was the direct wine shipping bill that seems to have been in the press quite a bit lately and passed out pretty solid with a 23-11 vote. And I think the other big discussions probably that are going to happen this week are obviously trying to battle the pine beetles out west and trying to find some dollars to handle that and further discussions about the railroad extension down in the middle part of the state. So that's kind of the summary from the Senate for the week. It's not been that exciting of a week with crossover going pretty remarkably well, actually.
Questions?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what are the remaining big issues that you see that remain to be decided?
Well, I'll start with, since it's my bill, the texting bill is still out there. There's two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. The bill's crossed over, which is something you don't see a lot in South Dakota politics. You see that a lot in Washington, D.C. But in this case, you've got two bills very similar, one sitting in House Transportation, one sitting in Senate State Affairs. And it seems like the chairs are seeing who blinks first, because I don't think either one has scheduled that their bills for a committee yet on the agenda. And so from my perspective, my bill made it out of the House, and it's up to the Senate prime and Senate to deal with that and what happens there. And House Transportation will take up the taxing bill, and we'll eventually see how it all plays out. But that's one of the big issues from a policy side that's still hanging out there.
You and Senator Valley haven't talked yet to try to reach agreement?
We have not. But if you see him, I'm open to discussion.
I got one. Nate with SDPB, what is the record for the federal government when it comes to approving a waiver for tailored Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act?
I don't know. I think they have approved or are in the process of approving one that I know of. Pennsylvania was turned down. They're looking really closely at West Virginia, I believe. That question came up on the House floor just the other day. You know, why are we sending the same letter we sent last year? And the answer is the scope has changed. The sentiment and the appetite for the Affordable Care Act is not really good right now. I mean, it's a horrible rollout. So we want to come in and ask basically to do things the way that we think are best for South Dakota. But I can't verify on the record as to what waivers have been granted and have not, but I know that there has been two waivers similar in process or similar in fact as ours, but they were turned down, but so was ours a year ago.
And a year ago, the chances were 0% because it was all or nothing. The federal government said you either expand Medicaid to the full 138% of the federal poverty level or not at all. So you either get that expansion and the money that comes with it or nothing. But now they've relaxed that a bit, and they are reviewing several states' requests for waivers. And so the chances have gone up substantially from zero.
If I could just do one quick follow-up, I guess, with that. If it's not approved, how likely is Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act this session?
I think the answer would be zero this session for obvious reasons. One, we're two short weeks from being done. I guess I'm the optimist of the group, but I'd like to believe that we probably won't get a full yes, but I think the answer I would hope or suspect would be no, but... And then we can have some open dialogue about, you know, what kind of meat are going to be on those bones, and have something that conceptually works for South Dakota and that we can afford long term. So I'm optimistic that it's a no, but let's talk. So we'll see.
Well, and the state can do its own waiver with its own state dollars with the regular FMAP match, which is almost 50% now. The state has done something like that, something along those lines in the past with the MAUD program, the Medical Assistance for Workers with Disabilities. It's a small expansion of Medicaid that essentially allows those who would otherwise be eligible for supplemental security income, but whose resources exceed $2,000 but are still less than $8,000, and are working and or trying to work to get on Medicaid.
Following up along those lines, as you mentioned, Senator Rabe, just a couple weeks left in the session, what would you think would be the best opportunity if South Dakota were to get a yes, but this were to come in May or June at some point this year? Is it wait till next year? Is that a talk about a special session opportunity? Or what do you think would be the way forward if things come after the session ends?
When the Medicaid expansion bills were in front of state affairs earlier this week, the secretary said that if a waiver comes in, and just like the speaker had stated, they have the authority to implement that on their own, and then we would just come in and either use funds that are already existing or make a special appropriation from the next year. I mean, if that's something that the governor and the departments decide to do, they have the right to do that. But you know, if it's something big enough like that, we can always have a special session if we decide to do so, and we don't agree with the policies, but there does not need we do not need legislation to do Medicaid expansion, especially if there's a waiver granted.
I think that is a good question, though, and if that waiver was granted at that current match that is offered under the Medicaid expansion through the Affordable Care Act, you know, then it's a lot less state dollars that would have to be committed. And with money set aside in the Medicaid program now for anticipated Medicaid eligibility growth, that there would already be money available potentially to cover the extra costs to the state for providing that waiver. And it's an administrative decision at this point. It's not a legislative decision. So the administration, if granted that waiver, could go through with it without a special session.
Just to follow up again on that point, this budget would need to be amended to allow for the increase in federal dollars?
No, it would not.
I think the probably the fair statement there, David, is that the department has probably some extra dollars there as kind of a reserve as far as the Medicaid fund goes, and so I think there's certainly some leverage room there if there was a waiver approved, dependent upon what size. I mean, the situation is so fluid, I think that's probably the better answer, that we'll just react appropriately. If it's a minor adjustment, they can do it. If it's a major adjustment, we'll probably have to come back. So,
well, and I should, qualify my statement a bit, because you're talking about with all the additional federal dollars coming in and reflecting that in the budget, yeah, you would have that adjustment reflected in the subsequent session.
Right. Correct.
Amendment to the general bill for the previous year.
Yeah, correct.
Anyone else is going to ask something? Just zooming back just a little bit on the subject of Medicaid expansion, the governor has deliberately taken a very cautious approach toward this. You've seen states like Arkansas and Iowa have been very aggressively discussing with the federal government innovative ways to go about doing some sort of way in the middle, be it some sort of hybrid plan involving the Medicaid dollars, but buying people's insurance, things like that. And the governor said that he's more content to hold back and watch to see how these other states, their experiments play out. I was wondering if you guys agree that was the right approach for South Dakota, or do you wish South Dakota had been more aggressive in trying to come up with an innovative, novel approach rather than one that's maybe been proven somewhere else?
Well, I think we already have come up with, I don't know if innovative is the right word, but I think it, you know, in the letter and the conceptually what we put forth to the secretary, I think is fairly, I keep using the word common sense approach for South Dakota, and I believe it is. I mean, I believe we're being thoughtful about it and not jumping in head first and not knowing what we're going to hit when we hit the bottom. And so if we work into this methodically and think our way through it and then cover the folks that are most needy, that need the help, you can always expand that later. And so I think we are generally on board with that concept. It goes right along with what we've done. So
I would say, you know, listening to the president over the whole rollout has said, I want to help hardworking Americans get affordable health care. Well, that's exactly what our waiver asks for, hardworking Americans. And there's a difference there, because his plan isn't necessarily for people that work. His plan is for anyone who falls in this area. And in South Dakota, I think that we have taken a very good approach at it, being diligent and cost-effective and helping those who are truly in need of it, not necessarily those who will use it just to use it. And I think that's, you know, I think the appetite in South Dakota is not to expand. The Democrats can offer their arguments, but I think the majority of South Dakota says, no. And I think the governor takes the right approach, and let's let these other states take it to the federal government and take a look at it. We've obviously sent two letters, so it's not like we're not in communication with the federal government on this issue. We have been, but they just seem not to want to give in. And at some point, I think it was brought out on the House floor that this is a roadmap. Well, it's a one-way road right now with the federal government. And if they start a two-lane highway, and we can start some discussions on how we can implement it here, because I'm pretty sure that the plan is not going to work unless they get more participation. And until they decide that they want to step back and allow states to run their states as they see fit on this issue, it's going to be a tough haul.
It's been a very interesting debate, and we've heard the bill probably four or five different times in different ways this year. And on the one hand, supporting Medicaid expansion, you hear about the economic impact for South Dakota with hundreds of millions of dollars of economic impact, with federal dollars flowing into the state, helping tens of thousands of South Dakotans with their medical needs. And the argument also that this won't actually cost the federal government as much money as people suspect, that in some ways you'll have revenues coming in and covering that. I think that argument is a little bit specious, and I don't quite follow their logic, and I don't quite see their formula and getting to the equation on that and the result of their equation that they're claiming. But I do agree with the governor's position. I think the cautious approach is the better approach. The federal government obviously has a spending problem, and they've got a budget that's out of whack, a huge deficit, $17 trillion plus debt for the national government. And the suggestion that by sending hundreds of millions of dollars to expand Medicaid is going to save the federal government money, I yet to see how that works exactly. And so watching it play out in other states, seeing the effect on both the federal budget and the state impact, will be interesting to see him help us make a better decision down the road.
I'll just ask one more real quick.
Sure.
Kind of a more general question. Representative Cronin, you had mentioned crossover week and how swiftly it had seemed to come. You said you were able to see the sun this time around. What's the reason for it? Was there better discussions taking place on a weekly basis within the legislature that allowed you to get through some of these bills? Or was it simply just because maybe there was less bills to go over?
Yeah, and actually, I could probably handle that one, because
I know there's 100 less bills, first of all. Second of all, our committees were diligent, and a lot of the bills we'd seen in my committees a number of times before. That would be the short answer to that, and if the speaker, being the one who's kind of in charge of the bills, chime in. But I think we just had less bills, and the committees had disposed of a number of them, and that helped.
The number one difference actually is having Senator Tim Rave as majority leader in the Senate, and I'm not even exaggerating. If when you have good leadership on both sides that are communicating well, things go through the process smoother, quicker. You don't need to have the gamesmanship going on, and you don't need to hold certain bills and wait to see what happens with other bills. And you move stuff through committee, they get moved through the floor, you clear your calendars, and then on that final day, when you trust your counterparts on the other side, you don't have to slow things down to make sure that they're sticking to their word or keeping their part of the deal. You just go ahead and get through it. And that's the number one reason it got through so quickly.
I think the other part is that, you know, the governor's budget, if you take a look at that, it was laid out very, very methodically and very thoughtfully. And so there was, if you will, a roadmap, a two-way highway. there that, you know, that has provided for some very general kind of discussions. And I know I mentioned railroads a little bit before. And so those things are all kind of, pine beetles are already in the governor's budget. So those are already out there. I mean, conceptually, a lot of those ideas were on the table. And so, you know, all things combined, I think it just provided for knock on wood, a fairly straightforward and what I'd consider one of my probably easiest sessions in 12 years I've been here. And, you know, as we come to the end, obviously there's going to be some crunch time issues that arise with the budget and some other debates on some other issues. And certainly texting is far from over, and even though we only have 2 weeks left, there'll be some heated discussions, yeah. But it's been actually a really great session so far. So yeah,
the gamesmanship hasn't been what you've seen in the past at this stage of the game. And typically, when you see crossover go so long, and you're getting approaching midnight at times, it's because of what's happening from each chamber, and you're trying to keep an eye on stuff. And and as one thing happens, another thing is there's a reaction, and then another reaction, and things escalate, and all of a sudden it's close to midnight before you're done, and you're in recess a few times, and you're hammering things out, and that just didn't happen this year.
Following up on the subject of the budget, the revenue projections aren't out yet, but I know that there's always discussions going on about priorities inside the caucus, where money should be spent, if there's extra money, or shifted around if there's not. I was wondering if you give us just a brief update about where things are right now at this preliminary stage in terms of the sense in the caucus of what are the priorities for money.
Well, I think, you know, revenues are soft, and I think I don't think anybody's going to jump up and down for joy when they see the numbers come out for February, which has been a concern of mine personally from the beginning. So I think just, again, be thoughtful as we go through. And certainly the priorities, David, I think are no secret. You know, certainly a little bit more for education, a little bit more for those hardworking frontline healthcare providers. Those are always the main two, and probably both chambers I could probably speak for. You know, beyond that, there's other things out there, and I already mentioned them. Pine beetles, there's a lot of support, especially from our West River folks, and everybody's concerned about what's going on in the hills. I think the other thing that we're concerned about is, you know, the railroad expansion. I know the governor put $1.2 million in there for rehab of the bridge over the river. And so there's some ongoing discussions about what to do as far as rehabbing things beyond the bridge. So those discussions are taking place, and I think it's just a matter now of kind of firming up the numbers from February and see where we're at. And then, you know, both sides have their priorities, and we'll hammer those out as we go through the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, the January receipts are going to come in and be known in early March, and we'll have a better idea of where we're at. But right now, I mean, the governor submitted a balanced budget, and revenues are less than expected in that budget. And so the discussion right now, more than where we would spend extra money, is where are we going to find money to balance the budget? And that could all change with good revenues for January, but it's kind of putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit to talk about how you spend extra money.
Any phone calls? Nobody on the phone? Okay.
I got a question for Mr. Montgomery. Are you going to play basketball next year in the legislative game?
Are there any questions from callers on the line?
All right. Well, thank you, guys. We'll see you next week, I guess, 10 o'clock. So.